So this morning we heard two accounts of God's people opening up God's word together. In the scroll, two scrolls were opened. One in the book of Nehemiah, where Ezra, the scribe, unrolls the scroll of the Torah, bringing the parchment up to the podium and scrolling it out and reading from the law. And the other was from Luke's gospel, where Jesus unrolls a scroll from the book of the prophet Isaiah and reads and interprets it for the people. In Nehemiah chapter 8, we are told about a New Year's Day celebration. The first day of the seventh month is a civil new year for ancient Israel, so they're gathered together on this first day of the year to hear God's word. The people of Israel living in Jerusalem wake up early in the morning before daybreak to get ready. Men, women, and older children get themselves together. They slip out while the younger ones stay tucked in bed for a little more sleep under the care of their nurses. They're going to the temple precinct to meet at the city gate. Ezra the scribe and several priests are there already. As the first people arrive in the town square, they see a big platform that's been erected with a podium standing on it, constructed just for this day. This is where Ezra will read the law, the Torah, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis through Deuteronomy, though I'm sure not all in one reading on that day. Soon the town square is flooded with people. Nehemiah says they are gathered as one man. Remember that phrase. They are gathered together as one man. They sit on the ground and they wait. They will listen for at least 5 hours that day to the word of God. They're expectant. They're listening. They're attentive. Ezra and the priests stand on the platform. Ezra approaches the podium and looks out over the people, making eye contact with many of them. And our version says that he opens a book. We get, maybe with that, the image of a dusty tome landing on the podium with a thud and dust kind of shaking off of it. But what Ezra has is a scroll, a parchment scroll. He lifts the scroll, he takes it out of its covering, and he places it on the podium. An excited murmur starts to rush through the crowd, but that murmur is cut off as Ezra begins to unroll the scroll. As he does, as the word of God is opened, everyone stands up to listen to the word of God, and they are standing there for those 5 hours listening. Ezra blesses Yahweh, the Lord, the great God, and all the people answer, "Amen, amen, it is so. Let it be." And they raise their hands in worship. And then something special happens. Spontaneously, in unison, everyone who is there bows their head and worships the Lord with their faces to the ground. It's an exhilarating experience if you've ever been in a crowd of believers singing and raising worship to the Lord, to have that done in unison, to be among God's people, raising one voice together to the Lord. And that's really essentially what Paul is talking about in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, that we heard some read last week and some this week. We tend to search that passage for what the spiritual gifts are, whether or not they continue today, and we debate about those things. But Paul is talking about the effect of the word of God on the people of God who have been made one through the presence of the Spirit of Christ, who was poured out on Pentecost from the risen Savior, making one new man out of many. Even Gentiles gathered together are made into this one new man, who move as one man, who work as one man, one body, who worship as one body, and who fall down before the Lord as one, bowing their head in worship. That's the thrust of what Paul is getting at. How do we work and worship as one? That phrase, bow their heads and worship, is used only two more times that I can find in the Old Testament, both in Exodus. The first one is when Yahweh calls Moses out of the burning bush to be the deliverer of the Hebrew people. He calls Aaron over to be his sidekick, and the Lord gives them instructions, and the Scripture says, then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the people of Israel. Aaron spoke all the words that the Lord had spoken to Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they had heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel and that he had seen their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshiped. Again in Exodus 12, Yahweh initiates the Passover for the Hebrew people, promising to deliver their firstborn with the sign of the blood on the lintel and doorposts of their doors. Moses gathers again the elders, and they bring the message to the people, and we hear again that the people bowed their heads and worshiped. It's at these times we see a promise of deliverance, a promise that the strong arm of the Lord will move on behalf of his people through the word of God, in the wisdom of God, and the people believe, and as one they bow down and worship. The result is this spontaneous, willing worship that flows straight from the heart as one man, as it happened here in Nehemiah as well. And Ezra continues reading the law, and the priest explain what Ezra is reading. As the people listen, as they understand what's being read, something comes over them. They begin weeping amongst themselves. Here they are, hundreds of years after Moses wrote these words. They're hearing God's expectations of holiness for his people. Here they are, a small remnant of God's people who had been exiled, now returned to build Jerusalem, hearing how the rebellion, the disobedience, and the sin of their forefathers would cause them to be cast out of God's presence. They had experienced that. They had lived that. And yet again, here they are. Without the totems, without the idols, without the high places that had ensnared generations of their people, but nevertheless, they're cut to the quick. Are they looking around at Jerusalem, seeing what they've built with their own hands, and see that it doesn't hold a candle to what God has ultimately promised? Do they weep for a final deliverance? Do they yearn for a city not made with hands? Are their own idolatrous hearts being exposed to them by the word of God, rendering them, in this moment at least, poor in spirit, looking for a Savior to cleanse them once for all from their national, generational, and private sin? We're not told the answer to all those questions. We're told that they weep as they hear the words of the law. And Nehemiah, Ezra, and the priests say, "Hush! This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. Not today. Today is holy. Let today be marked with joy. Today the Spirit of God has moved among us. Today you have heard and understood God's word. It is right and good to weep for sin. But today God has met with us. Today, eat, drink, share what you have with someone who has less. Rejoice in the power of God." 500 years later, a young rabbi is traveling to the region of Galilee. St. Luke tells us about this homecoming visit. The young rabbi is on a preaching tour. He's causing a stir throughout Israel. People are scrambling to get a glimpse of him, to hear a word from him, to see what the buzz is all about. "They say he's anointed by the Spirit of God," one says. "And so he is," says another. "When he was baptized in the Jordan River, a voice came from heaven saying, 'You are my son. I am well pleased with you.' And the Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove and stayed with him." Another says, "Can a man be called the son of God? Can a man possess the Spirit of God?" This young rabbi, Jesus, is in his hometown of Nazareth. The buzz has reached there. When he enters the synagogue, the Jewish equivalent of a church, the assembly meeting place, he's invited to read from God's word and to say a few words of his own to his home crowd. When the time for him to read comes, he stands up. An attendant hands him a scroll. It's the scroll of Isaiah the prophet. He unbounds it. He unrolls the scroll. He takes his time finding the passage, and he comes to the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." These aren't the words of Isaiah the prophet for himself, about himself. Isaiah is reporting words spoken by the servant of the Lord. After reading that passage, Jesus carefully rolls up the scroll, hands it back to the attendant, and he sits down to teach. He pauses, and the eyes of all in the synagogue are fixed on him. What word from God would he bring? What wisdom? What would this young rabbi who has come home explain this reading? He opens his mouth and begins to speak. "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Do not weep, for today I have good news. Are there any poor here? Today you are rich. Are there any captives? Today you are set free. Is there anyone here who is blind? Today you'll see. Any oppressed? Today you'll be relieved of your burden." Jesus is saying, today deliverance has come. If you see the poverty of your soul, come to me and find riches, abundance, enough to fill you, to spill over, and to even share with others. If you're exiled from God's people, captive to the vicious cycle of sin, come to me, Jesus says, and find freedom, freedom of forgiveness, freedom of righteousness that can be your own. If you're blind, Jesus says, if you can't see God, see him now. See him in his eternal word, not the word that's unrolled, inscribed on a scroll of animal skin. See the word of God in flesh before you. See the revelation of God, the manifestation of God, the wisdom of God, the fullness of God in his servant, Jesus. Jesus says, in essence, be illumined by my presence. Today is a day of deliverance and of healing. Today, Jesus says, the Spirit of God is returning to mankind, not for me only, but to dispense throughout all mankind, to make one new man for himself. And one day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. As one man. Well, we'll see the response that the people in the synagogue had to Jesus' words next week. But what should our response be to these passages of Nehemiah and St. Luke? We can say that today the Spirit of God has moved among us. Today we have heard and understood God's word. Today God has met with us as our Savior. So let today be marked with joy. Let today be marked with unity. Today, as one man, as one body, let us lift our voices in unison, giving blessing, honor, and praise to Christ Jesus. Today, eat, drink, share what you have with someone who has less. Today, share the good news of Jesus, the Word of God, come in the flesh. And today, rejoice in the power of the Spirit. Amen.